Thank you, Darcy. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, Lydia, for your short and sweet testimony. It was good. Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 this evening. For a start this evening, Luke chapter 15. And we might just go to the Lord in prayer once again before we begin. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come together tonight to hear from your word and to sing praises to you. Lord, I pray that as we delve into your word now, that you would speak to our hearts, that the Holy Spirit would have free course in our hearts and minds, and that you would teach us all the things you want us to hear tonight. Lord, I pray that we would hear your voice tonight and your words and your call to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 15. Now, as Jesus went about his earthly ministry, he went about healing the sick and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And many times as he was teaching the multitudes of people, he would talk to them in parables. I'm sure many of us realize that. And we know that a parable is said to be an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Or it's a story that Jesus told and it's got some application to it, some spiritual truth to it. So tonight I would like us to consider, first of all, the parable that Jesus taught of the lost sheep. Or we could call it the parable of the seeking shepherd. So we'll look there in Luke 15, and I just want to read verses 1 to 7 for a start. It says there, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and goeth after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." So Jesus tells this story of a shepherd who had 100 sheep. One day, one of his sheep wanders away and gets lost. And the shepherd realized that the sheep had run off, and he decided to go after it. Now, the shepherd had another 99 sheep, but he still wanted to go after that one that was lost. So he left those 99 in the wilderness. Maybe that was a plain somewhere safe where they could feed. And he went after that one sheep. And he went looking and looking everywhere. And he found it. And when he found it, he put it on his arms and he carried it home rejoicing, it says. And he called all his friends and neighbours and he said, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. And verse 7 tells us that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents. Did you know the Bible compares us to sheep many, many times? I don't think that's a very flattering comparison, that we should be compared to sheep. However, it makes a lot of sense when you start to think about sheep and their characteristics and what they do and compare them to what we are like. As Jesus went about his ministry around Galilee, he saw big crowds of people that were following him wherever he went. And he said they were like sheep. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Tonight I would like us to consider three points as we see how we are like sheep. That's our condition and the provision and our decision. So first of all, our condition. As we consider our condition, we need to realize that we are in great need. As Jesus went about his ministry, going all over Galilee and down to Jerusalem, preaching and teaching and healing the sick, he was followed by big crowds of people, lots and lots of people. Everywhere he went, people were thronging him. They were desiring to see him and to see what he was about. Maybe some of them were just going to get healed of their diseases because they'd heard how great a healer he was. In the previous verses in Matthew 9, we read some of the things about what Jesus did. He healed a man that was paralyzed. He raised a girl from the dead. He healed a woman with an issue of blood. He made two blind men see again. And he cast a demon out of a demonically possessed man that had been unable to speak. And he spoke again. And Matthew 9:35 tells us that everywhere Jesus went, he was doing the same thing. He went about all the cities teaching and preaching and healing every sickness and every disease of the people. He was very busy and he was in demand. And people flocked to see him wherever he went. But Jesus was not only a great healer and speaker, but he actually cared for the people. In verse 36 we see that. It says that when Jesus saw all the people, he was moved with compassion, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Physically, these people were probably faint because they'd been following him, following Jesus for so long, wherever he went. Maybe from the long walking and the heat of the day, they might have been physically faint. Maybe you could say they were scattered all over the place, sitting here and there or standing around, waiting to see what Jesus would do next. Waiting to see what he would say next, longing to see something great from Jesus. But Jesus realized more than just their physical condition. He realized their spiritual condition and the condition of their heart. And Jesus knows our condition tonight as well. Jesus knows our condition, but we must realize our condition. We must realize we are lost in sin. In this passage, Jesus had compassion on the people because he saw that they fainted, they were faint. How about you? Are you feeling faint because of this world? Are the pressures of this life too much to bear? Is your sin pulling you down? Sins like deceit, lying and cheating can send you into a spiral of worse and worse deception. Addictions of all kinds can lead you into greater and greater trouble. Seeking after fame and riches can leave a bad taste in your mouth when you realize that those things don't bring you happiness. And we can feel faint, weak, and confused when we realize we don't know how we got where we are. And we can't see how we can ever get ourselves out of the mess we've gotten ourselves into. Proverbs 16, verse 25 says, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Rejecting God and going our own way may seem right to us for a start, but the Bible tells us that the end of our own way is death and dying. Now, Jesus had compassion on this big crowd of people that were following him, because not only did he realize they were faint, but he saw them as being scattered abroad, it says. Just like we read about that one sheep in that parable at the start that wandered off by itself, so Jesus realized that these people were scattered everywhere. Everyone was going their own way. Everyone was going a different direction, wherever they wanted to go. And Isaiah 53, verse 6 tells us about that. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." We've all got our own ideas of what is right and wrong, our own ideas of how to live life, how to find happiness. And each of us has turned to our own way. We don't like anyone telling us what to do. The Bible says we've gone astray. Romans 3:10-12, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Anything against God, anything about us going our own way is sin. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of God's glory. So Jesus had compassion on this multitude of people because he realized their condition. He realized that they were faint, they were scattered, they were going their own way. And it says that he saw that they were like sheep having no shepherd. Now, personally, I don't really know that much about sheep. I'm sure a lot of you know more about sheep than me. But from what I hear, they're probably not the smartest creatures around. And that doesn't say much for us if we are compared to sheep. I googled some stuff about sheep and I came up with this. Found something. It says, sheep have a strong instinct to follow the sheep in front of them. When one sheep decides to go somewhere, the rest of the flock usually follows, even if it is not a good decision. For example, sheep will follow each other to slaughter. If one sheep jumps off a cliff, the others are likely to follow. Even from birth, lambs are conditioned to follow the older members of the flock. This instinct is hardwired into sheep. It's not something they really think about. And this sounds very much like the world we live in today. Peer pressure is rife. Young people learn what to do with their life by watching YouTube videos, and so-called influencers on social media are all the rage these days. And this is the world that we live in. I saw a statement the other day about the churches of our day and age and how people in many churches are not learning their doctrine from God's word, but they are being guided by young worship teams, feeding the congregations with insipid songs that appeal to the emotions but don't have the depths of God's wisdom. And that's very true. That's what the church as a whole is like these days. This is the world we live in, where there are many sheep, but not many are following the shepherd. Jesus had compassion on the people that followed him everywhere because he realized their condition. And we should realize our condition without Christ. Are you feeling faint because of your sin? Is the burden of it all too much to bear? Are you one of those people scattered abroad, doing your own thing, going your own way? Are you like those sheep without a shepherd, just following the other sheep, doing whatever they're doing, just following the loudest voice around you? In a flock of sheep, the ones that are scattered are the ones that are weak or away from the rest of the flock. Out on the edges, they are the ones that are in the most danger. A lion or a wolf or another predator will go after sheep that is by themselves. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is our enemy, and he is like a roaring lion. He is seeking for a weak sheep, one that is wandering away. He wants to devour us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to send us to hell, or make us useless if we are a believer. The devil hates God and he hates his creation. And he will use any method he can to get us on our own so that he can tempt us and deceive us and trick us into following him. He wants to cultivate sin in our lives. He wants to give us to give in to the lusts of our flesh and reap corruption. Galatians 6, 7 and 8 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. The devil wants us to sow to our flesh and reap death. No matter how sparkly and nice he makes the world seem to us, Satan's ultimate goal is our destruction. He's a roaring lion out to devour us. We must remember this. We must realize our condition. Without Christ, we are aimlessly going our own way. Sin is pulling us down. We are like sheep without a shepherd. And without Christ, the devil will destroy us. We have a desperate need. But number two, we see the provision. The provision. In the parable we looked at in Luke, at the start, we saw that although one sheep was lost out of the 100 sheep, the shepherd went after that one sheep to bring it back. Although our condition is like that one sheep, that one lost sheep who wandered away, Jesus has made the provision of himself as our good shepherd. If you turn with me to John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and Jesus says there in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus says here that he's the good shepherd, because he gives his life for the sheep. It's not like that hired hand who just is there for the day's pay, and when danger comes he just runs off and leaves the sheep to be scattered. But instead, as the good shepherd, he looks after the sheep, and even goes seeking after that one that would stray away. In verse 15 it says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus laid down his life for us when he died for us on the cross. Isaiah 53 verse 6, which we read before, said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Romans 5, 6 to 8 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, or perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for us while we were sinners, while we were straying away from him. The Bible tells us that what we deserve for our sin and rejection of God is the punishment of eternal death and separation from God forever. The wages of our sin is death. But Jesus has provided for us, and being the good shepherd, he has laid down his life for us. He died in our place that we might have eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in 1 Peter 2, verses 24 to 25, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. When Jesus was crucified for no fault of his own, and took on himself our sins, this verse tells us that by his stripes we were healed. He became our substitute. He died in our place on that cross. And then he rose again from the dead 3 days later to prove that he was God and he had power over death. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Jesus has provided for us, the good shepherd, giving his life for us on the cross, that we might be set free from the punishment of our sin. Jesus also wants to provide us with healing. We read earlier about how Jesus went all around the countryside healing people of all their physical diseases. And Jesus wants to heal our hearts as well. If we turn back to, we haven't been there yet, Luke chapter 4, please. Luke chapter 4. Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth and tried to preach to them. And he read in the book of Isaiah about himself. Luke chapter 4 verse 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus wants to provide us with healing for our broken hearts, our hearts that are being crushed and broken by sin, the results of sin. and he has compassion on us. He cares for us. Jesus not only has given us his life and died for us and wants to provide healing for us, but he also wants to continue to lead and guide us and protect us forever and ever. King David grew up as a shepherd, so he knew all about the profession very well. And he was able to say when he wrote Psalm 23, which I'm sure most of us know, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David really knew about the protection and the leading of the Good Shepherd in his life. So we have seen that our condition is desperate. We are weak because of sin. We are scattered, all trying to go our own ways. We are like sheep without a shepherd, just following the other sheep towards destruction. However, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has made provision for us. Although our sin leads us to death, Jesus has laid down his life on the cross for us. He wants to provide healing for our broken hearts, and he wants to lead, guide, and protect us forever and ever. Our condition is desperate, but the provision is divine. Last of all, our decision. You must make a decision. Just because Jesus has made the provision for us, the wonderful things he provides are not automatically given to us. In John 10, 27 and 28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." We need to make a conscious decision to hear the voice of God. God's Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and our need of the Good Shepherd. As we hear the Word of God, as we read his Word, the Holy Spirit will speak to us. John 16, verse 7 says, "Nevertheless," Jesus is speaking, "I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because ye believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Not all people who Jesus speaks to will hear his voice. Not all people will listen to his Holy Spirit and stop going their own way and turn around and follow him. In Luke 4, verse 16, when Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth and he preached to them, they didn't want to hear anything of him. And they wanted to kill him, actually. They went and tried to throw him off a hill. And John said it well in John chapter 1, verse 11. He said, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." We must hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. We must turn from our own way and follow him. John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts 4, 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved." Isaiah 45, verse 22. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." If we go back to Luke 15, please. Luke 15, we'll notice in from verse 5 it says, "And when he hath found it," that's the sheep he found, "he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Notice there that there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. There's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. Without Jesus, the Good Shepherd, our condition is desperate and it will be fatal. Jesus has made the provision for us in dying for us and taking the punishment we deserve. But in order for the provision of Jesus to be able to fix our condition, we need to make that decision to hear the shepherd's voice, to obey him, to turn from following our own way, to repent and look to him to be saved and to be healed and to be led and guided forever. John 10, 27 and 28 again says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Maybe tonight the Holy Spirit is calling you to turn from your sin, to turn from your own way and to follow the Good Shepherd. Maybe the Holy Spirit has been calling you for some time. Maybe you've heard this gospel many times before, but you haven't responded. You've just put it to the back of your mind. Luke 19 verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He's seeking for you, the lost, wandering sheep. Respond to him, turn from your sin, and turn to him, and trust him to save you and lead and guide and protect you forever. My prayer is that you respond to his voice tonight. Amen.